message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, our God, the Lord, is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you, my dear friends. Chapter 6 of the book of Daniel is not only a most interesting and entertaining story, but it also gives us an example of the believer's invisible means of support, those inner resources that give purpose to life and that mold a person's character and sustains them in times of adversity. Today's generation needs to study and learn afresh these principles that would enable them to live happily in a stress-filled society. With the defeat of the Babylonians by the Medes and Persians came a change in government in Babylon. With it came also a change in administration and officials. 120 officers were appointed over the empire. These officers reported to three presidents, who in turn reported directly to the king. The prophet Daniel was one of these three, but due to his excellent character and attitude, the king was planning to set him over the entire kingdom. By divine plan and appointment, Daniel was the right man in the right place at the right time. Within a few short years, the decree to allow the Jews return to Israel would be in place. There is no reason to doubt that Daniel was a great influence in the drafting of that decree. His place and position in the court was no accident of time or circumstance. God's providence was at work, even as it is in the life of every believer who seeks to honor the God of heaven. It did not take long for jealousy to rear its ugly head among the nation's officials, and Daniel was its target. Corruption and bribery has been part of almost every government in history. Daniel's efficiency and integrity became a threat, and so plans were made to dispose of him. Daniel's personal and public life were scrutinized. Every stone was overturned to see if they could come up with something with which they could smear Daniel's character and spoil his favored position with the king. They searched, but Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4 reveals they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. The final assessment of these jealous officials was that if they were to find anything against Daniel, it would have to be in connection with his religious life. It was therefore proposed that a new law should be drafted, one that would appeal to the king's pride, but one which would be very difficult for Daniel to obey. This is the record of their decision. King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Flattered that his officials had elevated him to the rank of deity, Darius unquestioningly signed the edict, and it became the law of the land. The law of the land was now in conflict with the law of God. To which would Daniel remain faithful, his God or his friend the king? News of the new law's enactment quickly spread. Four words describe Daniel's response, and these are, as he did aforetime. Daniel was no fair-weather believer. He held strong religious convictions, not fluctuating opinions. The daily practices on which his relationship with God was founded and nourished were still adhered to. There is no reason why Daniel did not know of the prayer uttered by Solomon on the occasion of the dedication of the temple. Hearken thou to the supplication of your people Israel, when they shall pray toward this place, and hear thou in heaven your dwelling place. And again, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and pray unto you toward their land, then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven. Daniel's posture during this time of intercession revealed his continued submission to the Lord of glory. He kneeled upon his knees. While one particular physical posture is not essential for prayer or for worship, it must be kept in mind that what we have here is an Oriental custom and concept, not Western. Both kneeling and lying prostrate indicated submission, as well as a sense of unworthiness to be in the presence of God. Daniel 9 records one of Daniel's prayers. A total of 15 verses comprise this prayer, and the great majority of it consists of confession of sin and the humble seeking of God's face and forgiveness. It didn't take Daniel's antagonists long to report him to the king. Their attitude was one of disrespect, for while he was one of the top three men in the country, they spurned that and spoke of him as Daniel, of the children of the captivity of Judah. They accused him of disrespect, for they said, "He regardeth thee not." They accused him of being a traitor, for they go on to say, "Nor the decree that thou hast signed." Only then did the nature of their efforts become clear to the king. He spent time and great effort in seeking to have him released, but it all came to naught, and Daniel was cast into the lion's den. The entrance was sealed with both the king's seal and the seal of the officials. This was a double safeguard. Being sealed first by the king guaranteed that the officials could not go beyond the decree's demand and guarantee Daniel's death. The seal of the officials prevented the king from rescuing Daniel. At the crack of dawn, and with great anxiety, the king rushed to the den and with a lamentable voice cried out, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Of course, regardless of whether Daniel survived or perished, God was well able to deliver his servant. We see this ably illustrated in the case of the fiery experience of Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the third chapter. The true believer always acknowledges God's ability to save, but submits himself to his will in every situation. In the New Covenant, or New Testament section of the Holy Scriptures, the writer, Paul, assures us that, quote, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." In Daniel's case, God's deliverance was part of his plan for his servant. "My God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me," was Daniel's response to the king's cry. In quick order, Daniel was released, and his accusers made to take his place in the lion's den, where they were quickly, indeed, destroyed by the beasts. While it is not stated that King Darius turned from his pagan Babylonian idols, he does make a rather remarkable statement of how he sees the God of heaven. Here are his words. "He is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. In closing, consider these thoughts. In the broad scope and purpose of the book of Daniel, which sets forth God's dealings with Gentile nations as well as with the nation of Israel, this account of Daniel in the lion's den foreshadows the final and glorious deliverance of Israel from her enemies. Zechariah 14 and Revelation chapter 19 reveal that this will take place when Yeshua returns in great glory to set up his millennial kingdom. Another thought is that God's people today, whether Jew or Gentile, are not exempt from trials as furious as a lion's den. Hebrews 11 and verse 33 declares that, through faith, the mouths of lions were stopped. Faith is the answer. Not just faith itself, as if it were a magical attitude of heart or a frame of mind, but faith in the Lord. He is the one who quenches the fire and stops the lion's mouths. Faith in God alone is the answer. What lions are you facing today? The Lord alone can give you deliverance or the strength and courage to bear it and see it through to the end. Dear friends, I encourage you in the name of Yeshua, our Savior and Lord, turn to Him today in simple faith and repentance from your sin. His peace, His shalom, will be your portion. Shalom.